Hello everyone and welcome back to season 2 of Snapped. As usual, we are your hosts. I'm Pete.
And I'm Paul.
And once again, this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. This week we are grabbing our douches, poppers, and relatives' urns to get in the queue to see Charlie Baby.
Woo!
That's right, this week we are colliding headfirst into Charlie XCX's fifth studio album, Crash.
And what a smash of an album this is, Pete. And what a party we're getting ready for with all those items.
So good, and also so bad that they did that to her. But
yeah, if people don't know, they just really, like, these deranged gay fans brought various items of equipment for Charlie to sign.
Kind of ahead of their time now that people are throwing their relatives' ashes in a plastic bag.
At Pink.
And the cheese wheel.
Charlie would send the cheese wheel, I think. She would definitely give it a wee heart.
At least she didn't get them thrown at her. They were just given to her by a shaky twink.
Do we know what relative it was? Was it somebody's granny?
I don't know, but did she sign it? I can't remember. She definitely brought it, so someone brought it.
Yeah, I don't know if she made it all the way there, though. But yes, we are. We're crashing right into this album, and it is just a spoiler alert, amazing. Incredible pop
so good.
Album.
Such a strong track list. Like, every song, I have something to say about it. Such an era, like...
Yes, and this really is her final pop evolution. Like, this is the Pokemon...
Mega evolution.
Yes, this is her mega evolution in terms of her career and her sort of...
trajectory as a pop star.
Yeah, like, this is the most recent chapter we have of Charlie. So, like, this is sort of where we're at. We're up to current time.
As of recording, the Crash era has been officially closed, so we can cover it on SnapPod. But we just hope whatever comes next is as good as what this album gave us.
Yes, so this album was originally titled Sorry If I Hurt You and was officially released on March 18th, 2022 by Asylum and Atlantic Records. And that point is really important. Remember, she signed to Atlantic Records at this time. It comes up a lot in their promo for this album. When discussing the theme of this album, Charlie has described this as a Janet album. Now, when Pete and I were chatting about this, we were like, Janet who? You thought Janet Jackson, I thought Janet Devlin from The X Factor. Both icons, though I think she's problematic now.
Which one? Janet Devlin?
Yes. I think there's a whole thing about her being, I don't know what it was.
Sorry, remember when Diana Vickers sang an anti-Princess Diana song?
Yes, and then Ella Henderson was at the Tory conference. Like, my X Factor girls are coming off the Christmas tree. My Ella ornament coming down. In addition to that, Charlie also says this is a pop-tastic album and her evil era, her villain era.
We love to see it.
Oh, so camp. Like, I just love a villain more than like a hero. In a conversation with A.G. Cook, the producer of this album, a message of hers can be seen saying, and I wanted to do a Janet album in September into a quicker album in December. Meaning that she originally wanted to release the Janet album in September and a quicker, more impromptu album in December of the same year. She later shared that the Janet album would be her last album under her current label, as you remember, Atlantic Records.
I just don't see this as Janet Jackson, but I get that she's saying that this album was the one that was inspired by Janet Jackson, but to call it her Janet album, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I'm not a big Janet fan, so I don't know which, like, Janet era, maybe this is emulating visually or concept-wise, maybe instead of, like, sonically. I feel like it is a much bigger throwback to the 90s, like, a lot of the songs when we get into them will have that 90s feel, so is that what she means?
Yeah, I don't know if it's supposed to be Control, because Control crashed. It's more like, I don't really know what she means by that, but...
Yeah, we're trying to make it work, but I don't know if it is. I feel like the Control video is very, like, black latex, and that's maybe the main visual we get of this album, but I don't know if a piece of fabric is what she means. I don't know, yeah. I wish she would expand upon what a Janet album was.
From May 2021, she rebranded this album as The Evil Era. During the promotion of the album, while the name of the project wasn't released yet, Charlie teased it by posting photos of the 1996 horror film Crash. On August 15th, 2021, after the announcement of the first single for the album, she posted a picture of a grave on Twitter which had her own name written with the death date as March 18th, 2022, which is the release date for this album. Now that is high camp.
Yes, I remember this coming out and first of all being like, she looks so good. Like, as we said, this is the last album under this album contract. So for that to be like the death of her career at this point, sort of like a cutoff point, was so camp. But I just remember being so annoyed that it was so many months away.
Yeah.
7 months away. Normally we have like an album announcement 2 months later the album comes out. I was not here for a long rollout at the time. I was getting greedy.
No, and it's such a tease. And especially when a girl you already like says that her next album is pop-tastic, you're like, thank fuck.
Yeah, we're getting more pop music. We still don't get enough albums that just are proper pop at this stage. We have like Ava Max, who we talked about before, who's doing it. She's repping the girls. Mm-hmm. But there aren't that many other girls that are going for like pure pop. So when Charlie said she was doing that, I was sold. I was ready.
Mother, 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 mother.
The album has a 12-song track list, with the deluxe edition being released 1 week later than the album on March 25th, adding 4 further tracks. Now, I do like this concept of, you know, if the album does well, we're going to reward you with giving you more from the album.
I think it's too quick. I think a week is like, where was anticipation?
I like that. I like that because where is the anticipation? Like Rena did, as we said in Sawayama, a deluxe 6-7 months after the album came out and no one even cared at that point for me.
I think I would wait for it for maybe like a month.
And at the time, like Charlie was really teasing that if the album goes number one, which spoiler alert, we'll get into it later, it does, that she would drop a reward for that. Now everybody thought it was going to be Taxi. Like I remember that everyone was like, oh my God, we're going to get Taxi finally on Spotify. The album's called Crash, Taxi.
Yep.
Like the visuals would be there. She could do it as a single. Like I just felt like everyone was excited for that.
Especially because there's the note to Sophie in the booklet.
Yeah. And I feel like that would be really like a nice homage, sort of like closing off the full journey of her era with this record contract to put out her biggest unreleased song as the last one.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that.
She should do that.
I think she should do that as well. I think that would be a really cool like tribute to Sophie. I think Sophie would have loved that. Like I just feel like that is their like jewel in the discography alongside Vroom Vroom. And there are a lot of car themes we've talked about there, but the biggest car theme comes from this album cover.
Yes, wow.
It's a fucking iconic image of Charlie in a bikini posing on a bonnet of a smashed car on a bridge. Girl, she crashed.
Crashed my car into a bridge.
I don't care. I love it. Yeah, no, I just, everybody can see it, right? Like she's bloodied, but she's still sexy. It is horror-ish. Yeah, it definitely gives like the horror, but she wasn't really in the car crash. She's the reason why you crashed.
Yeah, she's the final girl.
Yeah, like she, I don't know. I just really get that. Yeah. I love that energy. As I say, she's on a bridge. Now, we know she knows how to give the guys a bridge, but didn't know she had to go through the turmoil of a car crash to do so.
She knew the guys couldn't drive, so she has like relatable content. You did it. You had a car crash.
Yeah, I flipped my car into a field. She crashed a car off the bridge, like Soul Sisters. There's just something about LGBT DNA. Mm-hmm. Like, we can do a lot of things. We can't drive.
No. And if you can drive, you drive badly, so.
Yeah, it's badly crashing, scraping the side of your car. Mm-hmm. All of these stories relate to me.
Flips and dips.
I death dropped into that field.
And your car dropped dead.
She didn't survive, my little red Corsa. She passed away. She unfortunately didn't make it out. But what did make it out was this album.
Well, yes.
And on the original cover, showing a black bikini, on the deluxe, a white bikini and more blood to give us that delicious delineation between the editions.
I kind of prefer the normal version. I like that the deluxe edition is slightly different, but in a similar tone. I like her hair a lot more in the first one.
Same, I prefer the first one as well. And if I'm going to listen to any of the standard tracks, I'll listen to it in the standard version. And then if I'm going to listen to the deluxe tracks, I'll obviously have to watch the different cover. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't know, it doesn't have the same punch.
Yeah, I like when a deluxe has a different album. It feels different, like visually and sonically.
Yeah, I just wish it was a bit more different. If that makes sense, like she changes the bikini in her hair, but I'm like, I almost feel like if the concept is that now she's not in her villain era, but she's like angelic and more white, she's walking away or something, just a little bit of a different pose.
I would like if the normal edition was her being hit by the car but surviving, and then her in the deluxe could be her like on the ground, the car hit her and she didn't serve cunt on the bonnet. Like,
yeah, it's like the next step.
Yeah, and it's like almost like her angels coming out of her body on the bridge.
I like that too. I really like that as well. Right, Pete, I think it's time we get into this pop perfection. So hit us with single number one.
Probably one of the strongest lead singles of any girl ever.
T. Absolute T on that.
The first single, the debut single from Crash, is called Good Ones.
Bop. Oh my God, and now get into this because we have a lot to talk about. This song is so good.
Released September 2nd, 2021, and truly time stood still that day. What a moment to hear this single for the first time. I want to go back.
Yeah, the serotonin of the first play. Oof.
However, I would actually go back in time to smack Charlie for making it 2 minutes and 17 seconds long.
Yeah, the only negative about this song is that it is so short. It needs to be another 40 seconds minimum.
They created the button on Spotify that just restarts the same track over and over again for this song. Did you know?
Yeah, it's on loop, constant repeat. Like, I literally cannot stop streaming this song.
In an exclusive interview for People, Charlie said the single was about self-destruction and pushing away the people who love you the most because you can't really deal and accept their love. I think it's something that definitely I've struggled with in relationships and romantic encounters and just chasing destruction, I suppose. So that's kind of what the song is about. But on top of that, it's also just a banger, which is cool. Now, tea on that one.
Yeah. She's like, people don't really care about the message of these songs. But I will say she does go into that more introspective, self-reflective, accountability a lot in this album, which therefore makes me think this is a good entryway to the album. There are a lot of songs like Yuck or Sorry If I Hurt You and How Can I Not Know What I Need Right Now, just all kind of give that same flavor of maybe I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm the villain.
It's me, hi.
Yeah, I really get that.
The song received acclaim from critics, with most of them highlighting its synth-pop production, which lyrically laments the singer's incapacity to maintain healthy relationships, instead being drawn inexorably back to the dysfunctional and destructive.
That's a mouthful.
The track's thematic themes of tense personal relationships parallel Charlie's precarious relationship to her position in the music industry and the autonomy lost by the participation in it.
I don't get that from the song.
No, I get that from the album, but I think she wants us to get that from the song, which I don't.
Yeah, I don't get how that relates to Good Ones. So yeah, I think the original description of it is more literal, and I think that makes more sense. For me, the song is all around, it's too good to be true. You actually really develop feelings for somebody. Oh shit, need to go. Like, I can't be in this relationship. I can't actually let it turn out well.
Pitchfork's Quinn Merland complimented the song by lamenting its short runtime, stating, "Leave it to Charlie XCX, whose finger has always been on the pulse of something weirder than radio, to usher in some fun." Good Ones, her latest single, embraces, as she put it in a recent interview, the Charlie ultra pop star version of herself, but uses this persona to examine her very human tics, and that so many pop songs drag on for too long, but this one could stand to stretch its legs. Perhaps the point, the good ones always slip away too quickly.
Oh my God, okay.
Now Quinn, now.
Quinn is an English literature A-level connoisseur. Like, she read between the lines and made something else, and that was so true.
Yeah.
You're not that bitch or nothing, but you still ate that little one thing. Yeah.
Come on, Quinn.
Unfortunately, as with all of her songs, Charlie has used the password password123 on her Google Drive, because this, of course, leaked almost a month early on August 12th in good quality as well.
Yeah, the final version of this song just came out, slopped out, and it was iconic. I listened.
Debris were shaking that day.
Yeah, we were logging in, we were downloading, and we were playing.
But inspired by Queen Ava, fun fact, the day before the release of the single, if you tweeted hashtag good ones, you would be able to see a snippet of the music video.
Yeah, I like getting rewarded for something else. So like, okay, we already heard the song, but we hadn't seen the visuals. So it's still something to look forward to. And Pete, what an amazing music video. This is the best of this whole era for me.
So, so good. The budget was budgeting that day.
Yeah, she did use the entire budget for this era on this music video, but it worked out. It was so, so good.
The video, filmed in Mexico, was co-directed by Hannah Lux Davis and was inspired by Janet Jackson and Britney Spears. Now, thank you to them.
Mothers. That's mother.
This is a potential mother.
It features Charlie in lingerie and her backup dancers at the funeral and open grave of her possible boyfriend, possible fling. We're not really sure.
He's a bit twinky for me, but...
Fan.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, oh, you're going to give me the granny's ashes this time? You're dead.
Girl. We are going to hell.
Stop lying, those ashes.
Would she sign the dead twink's ashes? I think so.
I think so too. I think he did what he needed to do.
He served.
The music video takes place at the open grave, a reception, and after her death, her own grave now.
Oh yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah, it is her own grave. I didn't think about that. That's true.
The tombstone features her own name along with her birthday and the release date, similar to the announcement that was posted.
Like, she did keto or something before this because she is so snatched. Her body looks incredible. She's in lingerie, as you say, and she's giving choreo. Like, it is like a maxi challenge from a Drag Race episode choreo, but it's still choreo. Like, she's doing it. The transitions are so sick. There's a part where she like opens the Bible and it burns because she's so...
cunty.
Yeah, literally. And then it closes and it just like transports her to like the service. And then again, there's another like really cool transition between that and the gravesite. Like, it's giving TikTok transition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just keeps the pace up really well, which does align to the song. She looks so good. Like, she looks like she's just buried a husband and then she's ready to get like fucked.
Yeah, and she opened a new hole in the ozone layer with the amount of hairspray that she's putting in that poof hair. Like, thank you, Jesus, because her hair is usually flat.
Yeah, this is the best she's ever looked for me. This particular video in this era, like high hair, big budget.
But Katie still has the best boobs in the business.
It's incredible, like the typography and everything of the credits and the opening, like
feels like a movie, like an independent story.
The aspect ratio as well, like just everything gives you such a flavor.
We were watching the music video again in anticipation for this lesson, and for the first time you noticed it says story by Charlie XCX. Like we both did laugh because it is a bit like story girl, like someone died and then you're running around in your underwear.
You're running in a field in negligee.
Yeah, I don't know if she got extra money for saying that she wrote the story for this, but
it's not Oppenheimer.
No.
No, girl, it's not. No, it's better than Oppenheimer visually.
Like shorter, thank God.
Oh my goodness, see when she was crawling around that grave, it was like an explosion for me. Like my eyes couldn't look away. People were killed.
Twinks were killed.
The twinks were killed. Yeah. It was their nuclear bomb.
A motherquake measuring 9.8 on the contra scale.
Good ones.
So chart-wise in the UK, Good Ones debuted at number 44.
Oof, that's rough.
Becoming Charlie's 12th top 50 hit on the chart. But the Irish Gays came through again, as we are known to do, and debuted the song at number 32, making it her 16th entry in the nation. Overseas, Good Ones charted on the US mainstream top 40 airplay, where it peaked at number 35.
Oh, what was happening? Why were people not listening to this song? Why did it not go viral on TikTok? Like, what was missing from it? I don't know.
I think she said this before, but there is something sort of blocking her from the energy that we're giving to like Bebe Rexha, Blue, or Ava Max, My Head, My Heart. Like something is not clicking for people, and I don't know why, because even in this era she's trying to be that on purpose.
Yes, that's the part where I don't really understand. So like I need to interview a straight person and ask them about their thoughts, because I don't get it. Like for me, this is one of the best songs ever. I don't really understand why people don't feel like that, because as you say, it's not pop two, it's not vroom vroom.
Yeah.
It's not experimental, it's just really perfected pop. It's like you made a robot. This is not disrespectful, like, but you just input what makes a good pop song with really strong vocals, production, an dance, infectious hook, a choreographed performance,
visuals,
like,
yeah,
everything was there. So I don't know what's blocking her. I really don't, it makes me really sad that all of her biggest songs are probably her most basic, specifically Boom Clap, obviously. Yeah, 1999 with Troye Sivan, like, there's just something in her way, and I really am sad about that, because this song deserved to be number one for 50 fucking weeks.
Yeah, I think the fact is that when things like this leak, like especially Charlie, I feel like everyone who would have hyped it has now heard it for a month.
A month as well. Like, yeah. I'm so shocked they didn't pull this forward.
I don't know why they... Was it not so it would be on her birthday or something?
At this point, and there's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would have pulled it forward, considering I was going to put my budget, my promotion, everything into this song.
Yeah, unless it's because she had performances lined up, she already had like dates in the book to get it promoted. But
it's the same issue with Ava, Diamonds and Dance Floors, like, just pull it forward. All the gays are already streaming it and gonna be sick of it by the time it comes out.
And I was streaming this song for a month, like, yeah, I was pussy popping, and I did stream it when it came out, obviously. But
like, this song leaked in August 12th, and then the album came out in March. Like,
people don't have the patience for that anymore.
No, not that you're going to get sick of it because it's bad, but I just, like, you'll have heard it so many times that when you then go for the album, you're going to kind of skip past it because you've heard it too much.
Totally. That is what happens as well when an album comes out. I will listen to it in full, but I'm repeating the new ones.
100%.
And speaking of new, we've got the second single. It's called New Shapes.
Ooh.
Which Charlie first talked about on October 29th, 2020, saying, "And I have a vision of doing a song with Christine and the Queens and Caroline Polachek." That was just what she said, but that is what happened. A year later, on the 1st of November, 2021, then, Charlie reveals all the collaborators for the album, naming Chris, Caroline, and Deaton. On November 2nd, Charlie posts a snippet of the song on Twitter. Then a couple of hours later, the track was officially announced and released an hour later after the announcement of the album Crash.
I would have given it a bit of time, like,
yeah, she was like, oh, you're gonna wait a month and now you're just gonna give everything in one day?
Yeah.
The song has been described as an 80s inspired synth pop, indie pop, and electro funk track, with lyrics lamenting the inability to truly let significant others in, instead pushing them away, rejecting true love and embracing freedom. Very similar themes from the first song, but sonically very different for me.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a lot more, as it says, 80s inspired. It does have that different flavor of the album, which I do feel like the album kind of split itself up. We've got modern songs, and then we've got more like 80s inspired songs, which I like then doing the first single and the second single being like an anthem from each side of the camp kind of thing.
Yeah, and also to get the sort of "we want you to do pop 2 again" allegations out of the way, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to have a collab.
Yeah.
With two people you want to hear from, so.
Yeah, I would say people who love Charlie XCX both love Chris and Caroline, and again, probably are like a Venn diagram of all their favorites. This would be in the very middle, so this could have been Avengers Civil War maybe, but you know, people, no. And this song released at a really important time in our lives. We're getting ready for
Taboo.
Belfast gays. Belfast gays will know that in 2021 we were starved of gay pride,
malnourished.
Yeah, COVID rotted. Mm-hmm. Like the poppers and the douches were left in the relevant stores.
The urns weren't, but
no, people still were.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Did I?
You said that there.
Do you know what? I didn't even remember saying that.
People were dying, but nobody was dancing. So Belfast Pride was moved from July to November of 2021. Mm-hmm. Pete and I's first Pride together. We got all the girls together, Jordan, Abby. We were all so excited. This song.
Our version of Chris and Caroline.
We were so hyped because this song came out. We loved it. It was such a dance floor anthem.
Mm-hmm. And the motto also dropped on the same day.
We were shaking. Like a second bop hit the Pride building.
Not the Telegraph.
So we're so excited. We're listening to it in praise, really hyped. It was just coming out. And then we get to the venue. Not a song from 2020 onwards was played. No, not a song from 2000 onwards was played.
No, I think they played the start of Rain On Me, and literally we were so excited that it went into a remix and we were like, oh.
Yeah, this did not play. But we were so excited and we still have hopes, and I have really good memories about the song from that very reason.
And what about the music video?
So it was directed by Imogen Strauss, Luke Orlando and Terrence O'Connor. Now, why they needed three directors for this music video, I don't know, because
it's a static camera.
They're literally like, the start of it is essentially they're doing like a talk show, but it's only Caroline and Charlie there, and they're talking, and it's about like how women are kind of sexualized in these talk shows, especially, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah, and Chris is absorbed by the wire.
And I'm hungry!
And then the three of them are doing a really choreographed dance sequence to the song. It kind of just is that. It's like a performance video. It's hot. Like, they do look really good, and the dancing is, like, there.
I just love how Chris moves their body. I think it's so different, and it really gives the difference between the three of them. Like, Charlie is giving pop girly, and Caroline's giving...
girly?
Mole?
Yes, nice to mole you. Meet you. Nice to meet you, mole. Don't say mole.
Stop.
I said mole.
Stop.
But there's not a lot else to the music video other than that. I think, like, once you've seen it once, you've sort of unpicked what it's trying to do. I think there's a concept there of trying to talk out about sort of sexism, especially in, like, late night show, like, talk show hosts and stuff, but it never really fully...
No, it doesn't land. There. But I really like the sort of aspect ratio and the filters they put on it. It really brings you that 80s colorful geometric shapes, kind of new shapes.
Oh, true. And Pitchfork described the song in a positive review as having towering swells of 80s production, stating that it combines the euphoria of a Patrick Swayze dance number with the crushing depth of a Fleabag monologue. Pitchfork are doing things, saying things. A celebration of a love too radioactive to last. Not this radioactive is too familiar.
Lying on a fake beach, you can't get a tan.
Clash also said the song takes an alternative route to empowerment with a laser-focused hook, saying the hyperpop connoisseurs rise above the manipulative relationships they find themselves haunted by. And it charted number 90 in Ireland.
That was us on Taboo.
Yeah, we literally got it up there, and then Taboo said nope.
Taboo said Vengabus.
The Vengabus is running and jumping and all sorts, and I was like, where's New Shapes?
So yeah, not great chart positions so far. I think this is her Achilles heel.
Charting?
Yeah.
Selling any music?
Charlie XCX.
But Charlie wasn't done with her collabs for the third single.
Yes, so featuring previous Snapped legend Rina Sawayama, the third studio single from this album is Beg For You, which is a UK garage song which evokes the bubblegum sweetness of early 2000s pop and features a beat evocative of 90s house music. It contains an interpolation of Don't Cry by Milk Inc. and Cry For You by September. And these work so well together, and the song just is an earworm.
Yep.
She knew it was an earworm because she was teasing both the third and fourth single on TikTok and kind of guessing which one would do better. And I think this one did.
Yeah, this one's more infectious. I feel like it's more fresh. Even though it interpolates, it feels like an interpretation, not a complete sample. And it's just a really amazing interpolation. Like, I feel like Cry For You was going viral on TikTok from the whole, like, Madeline McCann, You Never See Me Again resurgence, like, all in genuineness. So I feel like it was a really good idea to pick up on that, and people were thinking back to that song.
Lyrically, it's a clubby and poignant message to leaving a lover, in which the singers exchange verses about missing their respective lovers when they depart, reminiscing about intimate moments when they're gone.
So many love songs, so many reflective love songs for three songs back to back on this album. Interesting.
Yeah, it's very like you've broken up, but you know you're the problem, or you know they're the problem. It's kind of like all those different thoughts you go through when you break up with someone. This is another song dating back to 2019, because on July 12th, the prod queen, Charlie, said on Instagram that Rina had made a song for her third studio album, Charlie, but Rina only had a small part of the song. She said she loved the part and wanted to go back and work on it for something else in the future. She explained that she felt that she could do something more with it. So they came together to make this song, and it was a fucking smash. We love Rina. We love Charlie. What else do you want?
Yeah, their voices really complement each other as well. I feel like they do have the same outlook at pop. I feel like they do fit within the same genres a little, especially in this era for Charlie. So it was a really good time to get Rina on board.
Yes, and Rina does sort of feel like an omission from Charlie and Pop 2, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that, actually. I was thinking about it there. Because I'm like, would Rina really been famous at the time? And then I'm like, oh, she got Dorian on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Rina was at that stage of Pop 2. Like, a lot of the other artists were like Dorian and Caroline, where they were kind of undiscovered or not.
They were growing,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had dedicated fans, like I think Rina did with her Rina EP. But She didn't have like an album. Dorian didn't have an album. It felt like a good introduction, so I would love to have seen it on this. Maybe instead of Carly Rae on Backseat, which I know is probably sacrilege, but I feel Carly was so well established in comparison to a lot of the other singers. Like Carly, Alma, are they on the same playing field? I'm not sure. No Alma hate.
So Beg For You was placed on Paper's list of 10 new songs you need to hear now. The writer lauded it as the apotheosis of the 2000s rave revival trend, as well as MTV Weekly's Bop Shop selection, where XCX and Sawayama were praised for turning a blast from the past into a fresh new dance floor banger. The song is incredible, but in my opinion, the music video is less so.
Yeah, really disappointed by this music video. Now, Pete, I want you to give me like kind of a walkthrough of what happens from your perspective, because it's unclear.
We're in a field.
Right, I'm there.
There are electricity pylons.
They're zapping and zipping. Like, there's a lot of electricity effect on that.
They're walking together, Charlie and Rina, with some girlies and a cult leader and a gimp. Can you see that?
I think so.
American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. American Horror Stories version. And they walk to a puddle, and then they sort of cut themselves with like obsidian rock, and then make the puddle red, and then they stand hand in hand and all the girls die. Now, I don't really get this one. I also don't get why Charlie's hair is so flat in this one too. Rina's outfit is a sleigh, and I love them both in the red at the end, and they're holding hands.
Yeah.
We were pontificating on this last night about whether it is that they're sacrificing themselves to pop culture, but at the detriment of all the girls who die. I don't know why the girls are wearing like H&M hoodies and sweats.
The budget was gone.
I don't know what's going on.
And eradicated.
They got, like, one staff from Moon Knight to hold like a crescent moon stick, and then there's no words, there's no anything. They just put red food dye in the puddle and said that's it.
It's really bad. It's really bad. Like, and there could be a really avant-garde explanation of what it's supposed to be, and I'm just going to say it, I don't care. Because if it doesn't make me feel something, or I feel like it's trying to be confusing for the sake of confusion, that's a bit of BS for me. I don't really understand why it couldn't just have been, like, I actually thought it'd be really camp my idea would be like they were both pining after the same ex-boyfriend who was actually playing off both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're both like, oh, I'm really sad this boyfriend's gone. But then they meet up and realize with each other that he was cheating on them with the other person. Mm-hmm. And then they bond with the sisterhood after that.
Yeah, they can both kill him and like...
Oh my God, yes. Two black Cadillacs by Carrie Underwood. My dad is shaking. But like, you know, that and that tease of like, oh, we're both the mistresses. Oh, well then let's kill him.
Yeah.
We could go to Haim to play the music in the background. Don't, like, I don't he care. He did. But this is bad. This is really bad.
So the charts aren't great unless you're from Malta.
The Maltese girls.
The little Maltesers.
The little Maltesers were shaking.
So in Ireland, of course, we did chart it for her. 33 is the peak. Other than that, not great. Malta was number 3.
Yeah, the UK 24, which is interesting because it does better than Good Ones. Which makes you think, does Rena's name mean more than Charlie's name in the UK right now? That's really interesting to me.
I think this was based purely on the interpolation and the TikTok of it all, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you're right. And in the US, it does chart at number 10 on the hot dance / electronic songs. Oof.
Yeah, so I don't really know what's happening. Like, the global one, it's only 195 on Billboard. Like, it's barely in the top 200. It's, like, bubbling under almost.
That's rough. It's certainly rough.
But, as we said, she was balancing two songs. In my hand, I have single 3, but on the other hand, single 4.
That's right. So on February 1st, after the release of Crash's third single, Beg For You, as you say, Charlie shared a snippet of this track, Baby. This time with a caption, I'm thinking this next, ... And then, messily, on the 16th of February of 2022, half of the song leaks on high speed and low quality.
That's the final version.
On March 2nd, though, the song does release in full and it leans further into the record's overall 80s disco vibes with sparkling synths and funky guitar riffs. The discified tune, inspired by the new... Oh.
New Jack Swing.
Oh, yeah. Not JLS. The discified tune, inspired by the new Jack Swing elements of Janet Jackson's seminal album Control. There we go. There we have it. As well as the electro-funk of Cameo. She explained in an interview with Apple Music that obviously so much has changed and this song, well... It was kind of the foundation of the vibe of the album. It's probably the most sexy song I've ever made. It's about sex and sexuality and having good sex and just feeling yourself, essentially.
Are you serious?
It's not what it looks
right
like.
Right in front of my salad?
It's not what
it looks like. You guys are fucking gross.
I knew that was the tone I wanted to carry across the entire record. This kind of hyper-sexualized feminine power zone was where I was feeling myself going, and Baby was the genesis of this.
Her most sexy song.
You just can't say sexy loads of times and then it makes it sexy. I don't think this is the most sexy song.
There's barely any words, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I also don't feel like it... I also don't feel like it's indicative of the album. I don't feel like, as we've already talked about, the first 3 singles are all around heartbreak and being like...
Yeah.
Wistful and
kind
regretful.
Of the deeper, like, not surface level emotions you feel after trauma or a breakup or something like that. And then this is just like... sexual for no reason,
which is fine. Yeah. But it doesn't and does not
give the vibe of the album.
No, not for me at all.
No.
Along with this song as well, a music video directed by Imogen Stryce and Luke Orlando was released, with Nathan Kim devising a dance routine for the video. Now come on, Nathan,
the dance routine is the video.
True. In the video, Charlie runs through central choreography while flanked by a pair of lookalike backup dancers. She explained that she really wanted to challenge herself on the choreography for this song, which was really, really tough. And I have so much respect for dancers, professional dancers, anyone who communicates emotion through dance. It's so hard and challenging, but rewarding.
Let me be quiet on this one.
You do more choreography at 11 o'clock before bed? Like you're spinning and dipping in the bedroom? It's definitely choreographed. She's certainly doing a dance. But yes. I don't think she's going to join Diversity from Britain's Got Talent tomorrow.
It is literally the new Shapes video, but if it didn't have the skit at the start, like it is just a dance in a... hotel or an apartment and that's it. I don't really think this is the move for a single. I wouldn't have chosen it. I guess it could have radio play. Doesn't seem like it, but I just don't get why this would be a single. I also don't really like albums that have more than 3 or 4 singles, so the fact that this isn't even the last single is bothersome to me too.
Basic. Yeah, on that point we talked about it before, but I don't dislike that concept for this album specifically because it's meant to be a parody on a popular artist, and we haven't really talked about that yet, but that was the big thing that Charlie was kind of going for in this era. She was saying a lot around how this was her sellout era. She was going to be a popular pop star. Big pop stars were interpolating a lot of songs in this era. Ava Max, queen of doing that. So I feel like she was trying to do the same thing with Beg For You, having a lot of collaborators. I feel like the shorter songs, the music videos, all of it was designed to be famous, to be popular, to chart really well. And it's not, for me, successful. A lot of people online were sort of branding her as obnoxious for saying it like this. The commentary only worsened her reputation for me in this era. I feel like she talked a lot and didn't deliver a lot chart-wise in terms of that.
Yeah, I get if you're doing it as a pastiche of what other people are doing, but then you have to chart to prove your point that if you did do that, you could chart. Whereas this just seemed like it was her saying that she was going to be a sellout, so if she did well, she could blame the industry. And if she didn't do well, that she could be like, oh, well, I'm avant-garde. And it was actually holding up mirror up to the charts.
Right.
Like, I know charts don't really matter as much in a streaming age, but these chart positions are weak if this was the concept of your album.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that is why she's doing so many singles to harken back to Teenage Dream, 1989, Loud by Rihanna. Like, there was an age where you released 6-7 singles from an album, and now we're getting one or two and we're moving on. So I think Charlie tried to push that forward. I think it'd be so camp if she had a music video that was a live performance from a tour that they love the turnout and these big 7 single roller albums and stuff. But she sort of half bakes it and then sort of just moves on to the next single for me.
Yeah, it's sad. So the fifth and final single from the album is a song called Used to Know Me, originally titled Lavender, and was released on April 15th, 2022. Now, this song is amazing.
So good, slaps. Like, what a good end note to go out with in this era for me.
Amazing. Yes, so the song premiered at 6 p.m. GMT on BBC Radio 1 as Clara Amfo's hottest new record.
Clara knew.
And just before the album came out on March 11th, 2022, the full song surfaced 10 days before its official premiere. Now, the gays are just so impatient.
Yeah, the whole album, like, to this time, like, the full album came out 10 days before the album was supposed to come out. We were going to New York, so we did have a little plane listen.
Yeah. Not our first song being crashed, just went into the sky.
There was a campness to that. I was like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down like this.
Now, speaking on the song, Charlie said, I was trying to emulate myself on Fancy or get back in that headspace. I really remember searching for the chorus melody to Fancy in a way that I haven't really searched for a melody before. I wrote this on my own at Stargate Studios, which probably made me feel like I had to write a really big pop song. And then when I was listening to it on repeat in the car, I started singing the synth line to Show Me Love by Robin S. So I called a few people and was like, is this possible? And everyone said, yes, but do you care about publishing? And I was like, I guess not. It feels to me like a big song. It's about reshaping who you are after a breakup. This is definitely the theme.
Yeah, that's the theme of the album for me. But this one is more layered in that this could be about what we know about her as an artist or, you know, her career, which is why I like it as the last single from this record, Contract.
Yeah, it's so good. And the music video is so good as well. Mm. Leading into the sort of sellout aspect of this era. She's sitting in a bedroom with her gays and girls, getting Amazon Prime deliveries.
Yes, I think there should be more like paid promo in this era. Like, that was the theme in the 2010s of like, we're gonna have a 5-second shot of Beats or
lip gloss,
the perfume in the music video for Britney Circus. Like, I just think about those moments so clearly. So I think if she had have had like lingering shots of product placement, it would have been so tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, so in this music video, she's dressing up as Marie Antoinette, a cheerleader. Like, she's giving the fantasy of all these different outfits that she's trying on, kind of being like, I could be anyone.
Yeah, and where is she going to go next for her career? Like, where is she going to step into next? You used to know me, but now you don't anymore. Like, I used to be the, you know, true romance girl, the basic pop girl. I used to be the pop 2 hip pop girl. Now I'm a pop girl, but what am I going to be next?
Yeah, and it also fits in with that sort of regeneration you go in through after a breakup where you're like, I was this person and I lost the relationship. So now I'm going to be like, whether that be you change your hair, dye your hair for the gays, go to the gym, like just completely reinvent yourself to be the better, badder version of you that won't get broken up with. I feel like it is layered and I think this is a really strong song.
Yeah, really strong.
It didn't do very strong in the charts.
No.
Nothing in the US and 70 in the UK, but at this point, when the album's already out, I don't think people are reaching for singles. So
yeah, I think that's a really fair point. Yeah.
Hey, Flop. Hey, Flop.
So that concludes all the singles from the album, but we know that the tracklist is so strong. And if we were going to pick one for you to listen to, we'd have to go to our segment, which we like to call Slipped on or
Chopped Off. I think to say that Constant Repeat was slept on is not enough.
It deserves a Grammy for just one song.
It is the best song of this album. It is probably my favorite song of her discography. It is so fucking incredible. And what's more incredible is this was the last song written for this album. And it is Charlie's favorite from the album as well. So she petted dust for 5 singles, but it's her favorite. Okay.
I know. I hate when girlies pull that out because she knew that Lightning and Constant Repeat were the top 2 of the week when the album came out.
Oh my god, when I tell you that we survived the plane crash, like, we were already in the air, and then track 3, Constant Beat, came on, and I was spinning. Like, the pilot was, like, listening to it the same time and was doing, like, rolls in the air. Me when I sit down on my seat. On Apple Music, Charlie states, this song features an imaginary scenario that she created in her head, where I fell for somebody but imagined that they didn't want me, which turned out not to be the case. But it was this fear that I had and my prediction of the situation. I think it's really interesting that you can convince yourself of that. When you're falling for someone, unfortunately, I think human nature just crushes in on you and tells you that you're not good enough and fills you with doubt and dread and fear and all of those things. This song really poured out of me quite late in the album process, and it just felt so real and natural and ugh. I'm so glad it did. We're so lucky we got this song.
It's such a powerful song. Like, even the production and the lyrics, everything together is just amazing.
It's so amazing, and I would play it again and again and again and again.
But I don't really get it as being like, oh, I really like somebody and they don't want me back. More for me, it's like, you're so addicted to somebody that you just can't stop thinking about them. Like, they're just on repeat in your brain over and over again. You think about them every time. You just like, and when you see them and you leave them, you want to see them again so quickly. It's like a song you really love. You just repeat it.
Oh, see, for me, the standard lyric is when she says, I could have been the one that changed your life. I feel like that is so clearly breakup-y, like, I will keep our memories on repeat, but you fucked up by not staying with me.
Yeah, yeah. Which leans into the theming of the album as well, though I don't see that being like a fictional scenario where they didn't like them. It feels more breakup to me again. I just love the way she says, I'm cute and I'm rude with some rare attitude.
True.
It is both a fan favourite and something that the critics really loved as well. Pitchfork stating Constant Repeat is a carefree, trancey souffle that catches flight with pitch-shifting vocals that swoop through different layers of the atmosphere. Girl, Pitchfork did an edible when they wrote this song, or wrote this review. I can't get over it. Got me on repeat, Charlie sings as the song closes, her voice surrounded with coos and glittering fragments of chatter, adding an intoxicating sparkle to a song that already appears lit from within.
Couldn't have said it better. Imagine if you were high and someone was saying that to you, you'd be like, oh.
Kind of feel like that now. All I've had is a blonde roast latte. I don't even think I can say anything else. Like, the song is just incredible. I was in my like graphic design era and was making a promo picture for this song, because Charlie, like, for all the singles, did like a poster, like a movie poster, which we've got in our bedroom. It's stuck up. But I was like, I want one for Constant Repeat. So I was like, I'll make it, and it'll be like album tour inspired, because I love the visual of the performance she does on tour with like a big moon behind her. It looks so beautiful. So I did it. I got one made, like, I got it printed, sent to the house, and then I fucking spelt the name of the song wrong. Content repeat. So it's in the bin. She died, but still, it's such a good song.
So I have to be the hater for this episode, and if anyone knows me, I am not a ballad girl.
Should we speed it up a little bit?
Yeah! I'm not a sad song girl. I'm not putting in my headphones to cry to, what do you even call that from Grey's Anatomy? Freya Ridings.
I am. I'm shaking a little bit beside you while you're like bopping to
Car Keys by Ava Max. So my chopped off is Every Rule. Please don't throw tomatoes at me. I just don't listen to Every Rule. I do skip it. Sorry. According to Charlie, the song is one of the first songs she wrote for Crash before the pandemic and the recording of her fourth studio album. So it is interesting that our Chopped Off is the first song. And Our Slept On is the last song she wrote. So
yes.
On Rolling Stone, she states, it's funny when you talk about explosions, this really genuine and beautiful love story on this album is also quite traumatic to listen back to because this is a relationship from my past that no longer exists. Even the story within How We Met is quite explosive, I guess. I really just love this song because I'm saying exactly what happened and it feels very truthful. So this song is a true story of how Charlie met her previous partner, both of them being in relationships already, but knowing they were meant to be together. And I just don't like it. So
it doesn't go anywhere. It's just very similar over and over again. Yeah. The tone, I would say it's like at a 3 the whole time and never really goes beyond that.
I think it is a little bit pop too-y in her voice.
Yeah.
Kind of like,
I know the bit that you mean really specifically, and she's putting like the vocoder on it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know the bit you mean.
It just doesn't feel like this album to me, I think is the biggest, it juts out to me in the middle of the album as not coherent with the rest of them. And I understand its purpose because you need sort of to be a sellout. You have to have the ballad in the pop music to show that you're not just a pop girl. You have vocal ability. Like Britney, the same, like everyone has to have their, like, I'm a singer standing stationary at the mic, which is clearly shown in the music video she does for this because it's a promotional single. So she is in like angelic white, very 70s, like standing still with the keyboard man in the background. Mm-hmm. To me, that isn't the visual or the sound of this album. So I just think it has to be chopped off by me.
Yeah, I think Sorry If I Hurt You from the Deluxe is the ballad of this album for me. It is introspective. It's thoughtful. It is the theming of the album. She was going to call the album that beforehand. That could have been swapped in on the actual tracklist significantly better for me.
Yeah.
It fills the same role, but to better effect.
Yeah, especially I do find that, and we said that before in season one, when people pick the deluxe song as the name of the album and then cut it off, I'm like, the concept of the album actually changed that much that it wasn't even the theme of the main album.
Not dragging Ashley Tisdale a year later. Guilty pleasure, who?
But with that, just like Charlie, we are entering our sellout era and we have these paid promotional ads.
Uh-oh. Warning. Speed limit exceeded. Stop.
Do you keep crashing? Too much vroom? Stuck in speed drive? Are you sick of paying those high repair fees? Then you need to sign up for XC Insurance now to get your Porsche insured. And use promo code SNAPPED10 to unlock it, lock it, your discount today.
Hello to you all. And welcome back to the prestigious Snappy Awards. Now over to our hosts, Pete and Paul, for the first award. For the cringiest line.
Yuck.
This was like a contender for us for Chopped Off. It would definitely be in the bottom two for both of us, I think, on this album. So picking a cringiest line from it was kind of easy for me. Mm-hmm. Just in the chorus. Yuck, that boy's so mushy. Sending me flowers. I'm just trying to get lucky. Feels so remedial to me. I don't know. I think I just don't like the word yuck.
Yeah, and you like romantic gestures, so it's kind of the opposite.
Yeah, that's not my love language, girl. I would love some flowers. I would love like a wee touch. Like, oh. No, just like a nice one. Or like some flowers or chocolates or something. Like I feel a bit called out because I'm so mushy maybe that I feel targeted. But yeah, I don't really care for that lyric.
And now for the second award of the night, the weirdest fact.
So my weirdest fact for this album is the first time that Charlie talked about the album was actually all the way back on the 19th of September 2019 in an interview with the music publication Fader. Charlie said, I'm not supposed to say this. I'm supposed to be like in it. At the time she was promoting her album Charlie, and she states that she's already thinking about her next album. She's like, I'm done. I'm on to the next level. I don't want to say stream it, buy it, download it to my old album. On October 14th of the same year, she said she was already working on Crash. By March, recording sessions for the album were already cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and Charlie decided to delay the release of the album and spontaneously started working on her fourth studio album, How I'm Feeling Now. So it is interesting to me that the inception of the album was actually 3 years earlier than we got to hear it.
And that just is reminiscent, I think, of the differing sounds on the album, like you said, when talking about every role. I feel like that is so interesting to me, because what other album do we have in the world that we know about that was started, paused, picked up,
mm-hmm.
but has elements of the pre-pause, sort of say, elements to it within the album still. I think that shows the evolution. As we say, we don't really care for the beginning of this album, but where it goes to, we really love.
Isn't it crazy how poignant the snap from the Marvel movies actually became?
I didn't think about that ever.
With the pandemic.
Like, you just pick up where you left off a few years ago. Is that what you mean? Like, the way, like, obviously people who were snapped out of existence had to take a break, then they came back and had to pick up, but the world had moved on.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, Charlie was snapped when she was doing Crash, and then in the alternate universe where she doesn't get snapped, she then writes How I'm Feeling Now.
Whoa. Yeah, the album wouldn't exist if...
It's crazy. It's crazy. COVID.
Well, Thanos snapped and so did Charlie.
Snaps for her.
I am inevitable.
Baby.
The awards just keep on coming. Now on to Best Live Performance.
This is so random. I'm going to sit here and eat my Doritos, watch Stranger Things. Like, what is this collab? On the 23rd of June, Charlie participated in the Doritos event Live from the Upside Down in collaboration with the Netflix series Stranger Things. What? Like, I remember this getting announced and being like, Charlie's going on the Upside Down.
Like, this is Ava in the Lava levels of bizarre.
Yeah, Will Byers is crying in the Upside Down and Charlie's like, well, I let the good ones go. She does a performance of the good ones, starting with an 80s news clip of Charlie going missing. It's like, oh, Charlie's missing, but turns out she's in Upside Down. And then her performing in the Upside Down. Like, she said, Vecna? Demobats? You're gone. Banished. Like, I feel like Go On should have been in that instead of running up that hill. Like, that would be mine, genuinely. Like, Vecna would be, like, sucking my soul out. And then I would hear, like, do-do-do-do-do from the start of Go Ones. And I'm, like, running. Like, ugh. Poppers flying at me. Douches. Like,
oh, my God.
I also want to say this as well. I feel like it does align with the selling out era of being like part of an advertisement for Doritos and Stranger Things. Like, how much of a sellout do you want to be, girl?
I know. And also in this era, she's on Drag Race as well.
Not watching Eureka and the Life Alert. Please.
What is she wearing? It's time for the Ugliest Merch Award.
So for Ugliest Merch, I do have to start again by saying I own a lot of this merch.
Right.
And so does Ball. But for me, it is... Maybe because I don't like the song, but this yuck plain black t-shirt that just says yuck in red.
It's basic. It just makes me feel a bit sick.
Doesn't even say Charlie or anything on it. $30.
Literally.
Next up, Dusty Ray Bottoms.
Dusty Boot. Ray
Bottoms. Now for a new award for the Snappies. Alternative album title.
This was a random one for me because we already have like a alternative title and I feel like it's a cop-out to pick that. So I went with True Heartbreak, which is like... Her first album with Atlantic Records is True Romance.
Wow.
I thought that'd be a really cool book. And I don't know if I actually like the title, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm going somewhere. I'm giving you a concept of like, all the songs are kind of heartbreaky. I feel like even in Lightning, the lyric Heartbreak already hit me once. I feel like that's the theme. So I went with True Heartbreak to kind of bookend the albums with Atlantic.
I love that.
Thank you.
There's high fashion on the runway. What have we got for our final award? Best Luke?
Bitch, looks good here.
So for best look, this was difficult because a lot of the looks this era are brown panties.
Mm-hmm.
Brown panties, yeah, that's right. So I gotta go to the Yusunomi music video and not Marie Antoinette, not the cheerleader, the sexy, slutty nun. What is it about that? I don't know, like... dominatrix woman, like, because she also has a dom look with her like whippy helicopter hair.
Yes.
And both of them are serves, but this just in the like religion of Northern Ireland, it's so camp when a girly girl just goes, I'm a slutty nun.
Yeah.
Find me a church. I've done everything everybody else wants to do. Find me a church to go to.
It's so taboo. Oh my God, we're giving promo, but like it really is. You feel emotive, but you're kind of attracted to it. Like, she looks hot as well.
It's like a distress sort of bikini with cutouts and garters and like a choker. The red eye is on point. She's got the habit. What do you call that? Habit? Yeah.
I think you're right the first time.
It's not habit. Or is a habit like where they live?
Oh, God. Nurse headpiece.
Nurse?
Nurse! Did this bitch really just come for me?
Nurse!
Coil? Call?
Under a veil is a white headdress. Is that what you mean, though? I think it's the black thing we mean. Is it called a coif? Coif? What's the difference between a wimple and a habit?
A cornet?
I would eat that on holiday. A religious habit.
I've typed nurse as well. Jesus Christ. Nun headdress. Well, she's either got a wimple, a coif, a habit.
A cornetto.
I don't even know, but it's sexy as fuck. And she used to know me, but now she doesn't.
Well, that concludes another iconic Snappies. Join us next week for more awards. Now back to the studio.
Okay, so now we're back in the studio debriefing all things Crash, and I think it's really important to celebrate some of this chart success, though, because the album does come out and it tops the UK album charts, becoming Charlie's first UK number one album. Now, I am so happy for her.
Number one for one fucking week. Let's go.
7 days. Let's amp it up a little bit, make it seem like it's longer.
No, it is amazing. Like, she does so well. The album deserves to go number one. Like, all the girlies, gays and theys were purchasing the vinyl.
Yeah, and let's contextualize this as well. Her previous highest charting album was 2019's Charlie, which she said don't even stream or download, which reached number 14. Like, that's a big difference. And to think the singles were number 44, 20-something, 70. Like, to get number one on the album, though, incredible. Girl, you did that.
Yeah. Girl, you have done it again. Constantly raising the bar for us all and doing it flawlessly.
It also became her first number one album in Australia and Ireland and her first top 10 in the US. Now, come on. It does sort of seem to suggest that she achieved her goals of selling out, like we talked about earlier, and going mainstream in terms of the album sales, most certainly, which I'm so proud of her for. I don't know. I feel like this album deserved number one. It deserved number one for more than 1 week, but we got it for 7 days. I'm really, really happy for her. The critical reception of the album as well was also really positive. It got generally favorable reviews according to Metacritic, ascending an average score of 79 based on 21 reviews. Writing for Clash, Drew Rivers says that Crash is certainly a mixed bag, but it does demonstrate that whatever her motivations and mindset, Charlie XCX is an artist we should treasure. Ellie Watson from DIY also gave the album 4.5 stars out of 5, writing that Crash may be the closing chapter for Charlie, but it is no way a swan song. And instead, she once again explores new ventures, crafting a pop album that celebrates old classics as well as new, and cements herself as a true pop trailblazer. In a mixed review, though, The Guardian writes that not only does Crash not work, or at least entirely, it leaves you wondering about its author's motivations. For all of her messaging around it, it sometimes feels less like a smart concept than a shrug. The work of an artist seeing out a fraught 5-album major label deal with a half-hearted whatever. If there is a saving grace, though, it is the Mercurial XCX, now a free agent, will doubtless return with something more interesting sooner rather than later.
Oh wow, a read.
That was a read. That was definitely a read. Miss Alexis kind of gathered her a bit there. And I think there are merits to that. I think that it doesn't fully lean into the concept of being a sellout. I feel like it is more of a breakup album that she then changed the marketing around near the end. But I think the music and the sonic sound of it speaks for itself. And I mean, the reviews by the end of the year were also really positive on the album charts. Rolling Stone ranked it as number 23 on the best albums of 2022, with Loud and Quiet putting it at number 4. Like, some really amazing recognition there, and The Independent putting it at number 5, and Constant Repeat being number 31 on Pitchfork's Top Songs of the Year. Like, it wasn't even a single. So there's a lot of praise critically for this album as well.
And the album, of course, is flanked by an amazing Crash live tour that began on the 26th of March 2022 in California and concluded on the 2nd of March 2023 in Melbourne. The Guardian gave the tour 5 stars, noting that the improvements to her performance, choreography and vocals made it like a massive switch between a sweaty nightclub performance and a pop icon performing. Now, what's the difference? She can be in that bunker that she's in, that the roof is like right above her head. The submarine.
Not the submersible.
Which is crazy coming from The Guardian, who just slated her album but then gave her 5 stars for the tour.
Yeah, maybe Alexis was sick that day, something else reported on the album, okay.
Independent also gave it 5 stars from their night in Dublin, stating the sense is less of an artist connecting with their audience than of a deity descending from on high. And that is tea, because we were there in Dublin.
I wrote that review. I would have written that review.
This was the closest I've ever been to the front of any tour ever.
Yeah, I was up in the girls' den. I wanted to get you there early.
I was trying to drink sangria and Paul's like, we need to go to right now.
Okay, well, like that day was a bit chaotic. So we drove down to Dublin. We got into our hotel room. We were really early. We had tinnies, M&S, Alison Hammond tinnies. And we were drinking, excited. We had really planned to make an event of this. So like I was in red leather trousers. Pete was in like a blood soaked vest. Mm-hmm. We both had blood in our head, like blood encrusted jewels.
Yeah, we were going for it.
We knew we were serving that night. We really were. Then we're like, right, we'll go for dinner at like 4:15. We got our sangria jugs each. We were steaming.
Yeah.
And Pete goes to the bathroom beforehand. And I'm just watching from this window. We're the only people in this tapas restaurant. And there are police officers surrounding this man who is selling drugs on the back of this tapas restaurant. And he's getting arrested. And I'm watching and I'm being like, the queue's getting longer. But if they were meant to be going to the concert, that was one
less person.
Yeah.
The mental illness jumped out when we get to a concert for you.
Oh, and also, like, I just keep reiterating, I am so short. Like, I can't see if I'm not in a good position.
But anyway, we weren't even near the front of the queue, but the way that the queue entered, I think people went to get merch and we stormed ahead and then we had to grab, like, Rose from being sucked into the void onto the front of the barrier while people were trying to drag us backwards.
Yeah, it was intense. It was intense. Only fueled by the fact that it was just chaos. The opening act just didn't show. They said, Dublin, can't be arsed. So there was no opening act. Instead, Charlie just played XCX World in full multiple times.
Uh-huh. On repeat, constant repeat.
On constant repeat. And I was bopping. I was like, taxi again, girl, let's go. And then people were, I don't know what this song is. I'm like, you need to be at the back.
Yeah, why are you at the front? Why are you dragging me backwards when you don't know this song?
Crazy, crazy to me. Like, everybody bounce to the back of the queue.
If you're at the barrier, bounce. But yes, the tour was literally life-changing. It was a deity that descended.
Like, what was your favourite performance, would you say? Like, your favourite song that you did?
You used to know me in front of the volcano?
Yeah, she was in the fires of Pompeii, like, fighting the big pyrophiles. Oh, not the technical term. Mine was Constant Repeat, probably, with the visuals, or I thought Visions was really good, but I know it's not from this era, but still, I really like that she threw some of the classics in there, too. She was so good. She was so close. She was so skinny. She's so short. Like, she's a short girl.
It was a lip sync legendaire, but not lip syncing.
Yeah, she was just legendaire.
But now it's time to wheel out our indisputable impact iconometer to tell the gravity and scale of the impact of Crash as an album and as an era and how it affected pop culture. I'll start inputting now and the machine will reply with the percentage of overall impact.
Beep, boop, gay riots, bloop. Let the good ones go. Sign my douche. Struck me down like lightning, ding, ding. Don't think twice, don't think twice. Calculating. 49%.
Just missing out on that 50%, but we'll get into the positives first. Charlie had a big presence on TikTok in this era.
Mm-hmm.
A long and successful tour with multiple 5-star reviews. No cancelling. Like, she performed her XCX to see.
Yes, yes, around the world.
Commercially, this was her most successful album to date, topping the charts in Australia, Ireland, and the UK. Also her first top 10 album in the US. I feel like she really already had gay Twitter on her side, but I feel like this really only opened her empire even more.
Switching over to the negatives, though, I just feel like the singles didn't move anybody, a Move Me reference. I just feel like they didn't really go anywhere. And Good One, she did a lot of promo for. Like, she went on SNL. She was on late night talk shows. She performed it at the Upside Down. Like, she really was touring for Good Ones. And it didn't really move anything. It didn't really go anywhere. She did a lot of collabs. She didn't really seem to get the buy-in from, like, the general public on any of these singles. And I think one of the key things he talked about was how much he wanted to pierce into pop culture, be a sellout, make it make sense, like, have that be a really strong concept. That falls flat for me on this album. And I think culturally also, I think it only turned people off. I think there were a lot of think pieces around how she was obnoxious and pretentious, but that didn't generate in sales for the singles.
No.
So I don't really think she really lived up to that. There's also no Grammy nomination. She posted on Instagram being really annoyed about this. She said, me not being nominated for a Grammy for Crash is like Mia Goth not being nominated for an Oscar for Pearl, and only further proves people don't want to see hot evil girls thrive.
True.
Now that is tea, but the lack of recognition for her after all of that work, effort, concept, could we really justify putting it as a higher number given that nobody really knows it in terms of, you know, remember this is about pop culture?
Yeah. I think the stamp is the red blood drop. You know, she has a really clear concept, visual, vision. Everything is so clean. So why has it not translated?
Yeah, it's an age-old question, and I only hope that when this new record deal, she finally put the car in speed drive and zoomed to the top of the charts.
Thank you all so much for tuning into this episode of Snap Season 2. As always, follow us along on our socials at SnapPod over on Instagram, where we post behind-the-scenes content and visuals of everything we talk about in the episode. And don't forget to subscribe to Snapped on your favorite podcast streaming service to get notified when episodes release over the next coming weeks. You can even give us a beautiful, blood-soaked 5-star review if you're feeling particularly generous.
I've been your host, Paul.
And I've been Pete.
And as always, keep those ears peeled for a quick sneak peek of next week's album at the end of this episode. And we will see you then.
Bye.